I am not an expert. I've never published a book or taught a class, but I love quilting, and I love talking about quilting. I make a lot of mistakes, but I like to think that sometimes I learn from them and get just a little bit better. If hearing about someone else's goofs and mess-ups makes you feel better about yours, then I've done my job. So join me now as we talk about quilting for the rest of us. Hey, I'm Sandy, and I'm a quilter, and welcome to episode 17, in which we're going wonky. And I'm recording this on Sunday, March 23rd, 2024. I have to say, I have not a lot to report this week because it's only been a week. Look at me! For the first time, I'm trying not to catch up with months or years worth of news for an episode. That means this will probably be a much shorter episode because I haven't actually gotten a lot done this week. I did do another test block on the AccuQuilt log cabin die. I was, again, very proud of myself. I sat and took 15, 20 minutes to do everything they always say to do to set yourself up for having a really solid quarter-inch seam. I moved my needle around, I sewed on a couple of pieces, I measured the finished piece from the front and from the back, I measured my seam, I pressed it and measured it again. I kept adjusting until it came out dead on two or three times in a row. And, you know, it's a combination of all those things. I think with me, probably where I get into the most trouble is with my pressing, because I know I can tend to have a heavy hand with that. I just sort of beat things into submission with the iron, so I am trying to behave myself with that. But when I got several test pieces to come out exactly right, including after I had pressed them, I started moving forward, and I was, even this time, I mentioned last week how I had tried several different presser foot combinations and other methods, and so this time I was using my presser foot without the flange, the quarter-inch presser foot, and I had gotten the seam guide adhesive. I haven't yet gotten the gauge that you use to set it up. I'm not quite sure where that's coming. I could swear I should have it by now. I don't quite yet. But I have some of the sticky adhesives. They came from somewhere else. And so I measured again, measured a third time, put up the adhesive exactly where I think it needs to be. Because here's the thing. With my Janome, where the needle naturally sits, if I don't adjust it one way or the other, the seam, the little lines that are on the bobbin holder cover there, the one that's supposed to be at a quarter inch, if I use that line exactly, it isn't quite right. It's like a thread off. So anyway, I had to kind of figure out between the quarter inch mark and I think it's like a 5/8. I don't remember exactly where the marks are, but I'm kind of between two different lines is where it ends up. So I use that, and that gives me just a little bit of a ridge that I can run the fabric along. And, you know, from all things being equal, I actually really like the way that feels. It feels smooth to me. It's easy to use it that way. So, you know, that's probably going to be my preferred way moving forward, I think. You know, we'll see. But anyway, so I started working on the log cabin block using the AccuQuilt die pieces. Somewhere along the way, when you look at the picture of the finished test block, I used one purple fat quarter that I didn't mind disappearing from my stash. And I had a couple of different kind of beigey ones that I sliced into pieces. And so I ended up kind of alternating back and forth between those on the light side. Somewhere I lost a purple strip. I don't know where it is. I could swear I had all of them cut. There's one missing. So I have one purple strip that's a very different color purple, you know, which kind of ruins this even for orphan block. I don't know. This is probably going to ditch, or I might give it to my friend Lori as a challenge, orphan block, and say, if you can make this look good, you can make anything look good. But in any case, I got it done, and sure enough, the finish block was still shy. Still, it's not as bad as the first ones were, but it's still short of where it's supposed to be. but only in one direction, not in both. It's hard to explain unless you were looking at the ruler with me. But it's just making my head explode. I don't know where this is going wrong. I have done everything exactly the way they say to do it. So if I do decide to use Log Cabin Block moving forward, I'd end up doing the usual where you figure out what your smallest block is and just square everything up to that size, which is a pain in the butt. And I always worry that it's going to end up looking just a little off if your outside logs are just that much thinner than the rest. But, you know, it is what it is. I'll talk a little bit about comparing it to the other method and what I like about each. So with that, I then moved on to testing my Creative Grid's 12-inch log cabin block. It's actually a duo. It can do either 6-inch or 12-inch blocks. So much easier, so much more forgiving, definitely faster. You don't cut any pieces in advance, or you don't have to, you could. But the way I did it, I would put a 2.5-inch strip of whether I was doing the light or the dark under the needle. I would lay the top, the block that I was piecing on top of it, and just go to town. So everything was just going off the strips. And then once I had all the pieces, the blocks pieced, I would then cut them apart, press them. I would trim the side that I was going to be sewing next so that it was even all the way across. That was one thing I started doing this time, so that I didn't have all these kind of weird sized seams going on. And then just lay down the next strip and just start piecing. And, you know, when you're on the smaller pieces, you can get a fair number of pieces out of one strip. The bigger the block gets, of course, the fewer you can get out of a single strip. And then when you're trimming off ends, so if I'm doing like the smaller pieces, I get to the end of a strip and I've still got a lot at the end of the strip. You just cut it off and then you can slap it on another block later. So I really like that method. It's a fantastic way for me to be using up my 2.5-inch strips. Because as I've mentioned before, I've got a lot of them, a lot of strips, scrap strips, not pretty jelly rolls, just scrap strips from all over the place and from a number of years of collecting. So likely this will end up being a way that I get rid of a lot of those trips, is just, you know, whacking out some log cabins with these Creative Grids trim tools and then, you know, making them for donating quilts or whatever. The big difference between the AccuQuilt and the Creative Grids, other than speed and, you know, simplicity and accuracy and everything, the final look is very different. And so it's going to depend on the look you're going for. And for me, I can't at the moment decide which one I'm going to use for the wedding quilt I'm doing for my niece. Here's why. The Creative Grids 12-inch log cabin block gets to 12 inches by starting with a 3.5-inch square in that center square. And then it has three rounds of wide strips for logs. That's how it gets to that 12-inch. The AccuQuilt, however, the 12-inch, you're starting, it's all 1.5-inch strips, and you're starting with that 1.5-inch square. So between the two finished 12-inch blocks, the AccuQuilt has a lot more strips in it. And now that's part of why it keeps getting out of whack, because every one of those seams, even if it's only a thread off, that adds up. The Creative Grids goes a lot faster, but it has, I don't even want to necessarily use the terms traditional versus modern. It's just more for somebody who knows what they're looking at. You could tell the Creative Grids one is a fast and easy block. It just doesn't look like there's as much time put into it. Plus, on the other side, it also doesn't give you quite as much opportunity to get rid of a lot of fabric. So, you know, if I'm really trying to off some scraps and I want a lot of variety in the scrap quilt, the AccuQuilt is going to be the way to go. But if I decide I just need to get this puppy done, I don't care. It'll be fine if it's larger altogether and not quite as complex. then the creative grids is the way to go. So for all of you who are listening to this trying to decide, and I know one person did say she's got the log cabin die from AccuQuilt. Others of you might have looked at it if you've got an AccuQuilt and trying to decide if to get it. I cannot tell you whether or not to get it. You may not have the same issues with accuracy that I do. If you've listened to this podcast anytime at all, you know I am not the world's greatest quilter. That is not why I do this podcast. I do my podcast so you can feel better about your quilting. That's exactly my story, and I'm sticking to it. But anyway, it is the log cabin die is definitely a more traditional approach to a log cabin block. A creative grids trim tool is definitely one more influenced by the jelly roll revolution that happened back when Moda first introduced the jelly roll. So you've just, you know, each one has its purpose. And for me, I could see myself using either one. Where I could really see using the AccuQuilt one is when I'm cutting scraps at the end of a project. It is a great way to just slice up scraps. And because it uses the kind of traditional 1.5-inch width block, you can mix and match with honey buns, which are jelly rolls, but only 1.5-inch. Again, a Moda thing, marketing genius. Or I do also have the AccuQuilt 1.5-inch strip cutter. So I can just, again, cut my own 1.5-inch strips and then mix and match them with the log cabin die. So I could see just sort of amassing a collection of log cabin pieces over time. Obviously, you've got to keep them very well organized. I'm still wondering if that one purple number 8 piece that went AWOL isn't hiding in either my 7 or my 9 container. I looked through all of them, couldn't find it. I still don't know. Maybe I really was just one off. The one thing about the AccuQuilt log cabin die, if you want to do one color, all the pieces in one color, you need to cut one piece that's about 23 inches. You need 23 inches to cover the whole thing of pieces. Why am I saying that? Well, because most fat quarters only come to 22 inches. And so for both of my tests, I was using fat quarters because those were things I could grab easily and not worry about, you know, getting rid of. Because I've got a lot of those, not as many as I have strips, but I do have a fair number of fat quarters as well. But the problem is you can only cut sizes 1 through 7, I think, are on the right-hand side, kind of all one bunch. You can do that half, leave a part of your fabric hanging off the side. You can do that cutting it on grain, which you have to do at the AccuQuilt most times. You also have to make sure you're cutting with the lengthwise grain. And so I lay it out so it's lengthwise grain. I'm covering the shorter half first, flip it up, and then I take what's left over and I do the longer pieces, 12 through 7 or 8, wherever it starts on that side, on the left-hand side, and get what I can out of the rest of the piece. Not all fat quarters are cut exactly the same, so you may have some that are actually 23 inches wide that you're able to use. But it is trickier to use fat quarters in that regard. So that's just a little tip on that. What I'm thinking about doing is just stripping a lot of my fat quarters to either 1.5 or 2.5-inch strips, just cutting them right down so that then I can use them in log cabins or a variety of other, you know, scrap type quilts. Honestly, I am more likely, I'm wandering right now, but here we go. Follow me, if you will. I have done a lot of looking into what size scraps I should cut to make them the most usable for the way I scrap quilt. I love scrap quilting now. I know, again, those of you who went back and started at the beginning of my episodes, you will know somewhere in there I talked about how I did not start out as a scrap quilter. I did not like scrap quilts. But Charlotte from my quilt guild, Charlotte Hawks, who is now well known for doing her Scrapitude quilts every year, her scrap mystery quilts, she got me into scrap quilting. And in fact, the very first scrap mystery quilt she did, we did on this podcast. I hosted it for her. And she, you know, because of that, I felt like I had to do it. That quilt is still laying on my bed. That's my main bed quilt. I love the way it came out. Can't say I loved every moment of doing it. So, but she did really teach me what I liked about scrap quilts versus the scrap quilts I don't like. And the scrap quilts I don't like, which was what I was mostly focusing on, and this is just personal taste, I don't like the ones that have nowhere for the eyes to rest. Probably my favorite scrap quilts are the ones that have a scrappy block with a very crisp white background. I love that. That's what I tend to do. Or more muted colors with an off-white or a cream or a beige background, if you want to go a little more country look for it. I like that kind of scrap quilt. There are scrap quilts that are just too busy turn me off. Now, there are people who love the busy, busy scrap quilts. I am not saying they're horrible quilts. I'm not saying anybody else shouldn't like them. I'm just saying, for me, that doesn't flip my switch as much. So I've really been working on, okay, I do like scrap quilts. What kind of scrap quilts do I like? How can I do this? And I've gotten scrappier and scrappier as I go. I would say this year, I am probably going to be predominantly doing scrap quilts because I've got so many stinking strips. So, I'm not going to keep talking about my 2.5-inch strip stash. There's a lot of them. In any case, so I am now also working at how do I cut my strips so that they're easy for me to use in projects. Again, referring back to my friend Charlotte, she is a serious scrap quilter from way back and has a gazillion pre-cut size, or not pre-cut, a zillion sizes that she cuts her scraps into. When she gets them, she will take scraps from other people. I think her smallest size is maybe 1 inch. I mean, she goes pretty small. And she has triangles, she has squares of various sizes and all sorts of stuff. And then she does just beautiful work with them. I know me. That's not me. Maybe someday, but not now. For me to stay on top of my scraps, in other words, to not just toss scraps when I'm done with a project, but actually cut them into usable sizes, I have to pare it down to maybe 3 or 4 sizes that I'm just going to cut and store and keep that way. And so for a while, I had been using pre-cut sizes. When I got a piece of fabric left, if it was anything, if it's fat quarter size, it goes into my fat quarter. Anything less than that, 10-inch, 5-inch squares, 10-inch squares, 5-inch squares, 2.5-inch strips, 1.5-inch strips. That was pretty much what I was cutting. Sometimes I'd then also subcut into 2.5-inch squares. Now that I've got all these, I have a lot of the strip dyes from AccuQuilt, and I was reading one scrap quilter, can't remember who it was, said she only cuts strips because you can always subcut a strip. And I thought, you know what, that's ideal for me because I can just cut strips in a variety of sizes that then I can subcut into either squares or into squares big enough to do the half-size triangles, or just use them on my AccuQuilt die for pieces, whatever. You know, as long as if I've cut them into strips, then at least I've gotten that first cut done. So I think that might be where I head in the future. I would have to kind of rework my scrap storage system, I think. I kind of go back and forth as to whether to store by color or size. If I'm going to go really scrappy, I'm best off doing it by size than color. Maybe just keeping all my neutrals and whites in one place, but then all my colors, just let them coexist peacefully, but join them together by size. That might be what I go. For those of you who are scrap quilters, I would love to hear how you store your scraps, because this is just an ongoing conversation in my head. All right, so that's kind of where I'm at with my AccuQuilt versus Creative Grids straight log cabin. Like I said, I'm still debating which one I'm going to do for my niece's wedding quilt. I really like the look of the more traditional log cabin with the more strips and the smaller center square. The 3.5-inch center square just looks so big. If I was fussy cutting something for that square, it would be great. But I don't, you know, nothing is coming to mind for me to fussy cut. No images. I don't have any fabric that I'm like, oh, that's exactly what they need. So I just don't know. But again, speed may trump everything. Okay, so on to the next version of the log cabin is my wonky log cabin. I mentioned before that I was doing this as a baby quilt for the Storm at Sea couple, as they shall hereafter always be known, the Storm at Sea couple. I had started a couple at Sodays. Now I'm not remembering how many I had done. I had only gotten, I think, maybe 4 started. Or maybe I had gotten 8 started. I do remember when I pulled everything out earlier today thinking, oh, I must have thought I only needed 8. What I really want is 16. But I had enough turquoise squares cut. Those are my center square. And in the wonky log cabin, it is a 2.5-inch start, I think. I don't know. It might be bigger than that. I'd have to double check. But anyway, I'm starting with a turquoise square in the center, and then I'm doing, there's 3 rounds of logs all together, so I'm doing 2 rounds of red, and then the outside one will be black, so that the blacks will form kind of a secondary pattern however I do the layout. I think I know what my layout is going to be in my head, but I'm waiting until I have them all done, and then I'll play with it on my design. Well, I did realize today that the way I've got the colors laid out, the finished block, if I put it on point with the black forming the V at the bottom, it'll look like a flower. And the intended baby's middle name is a floral name. So I'm thinking I might end up playing with that. But then I got to make setting squares and all of that for whenever you put stuff on point. So we'll see. I do have AccuQuilt setting squares dies, so it would be fairly easy to do. So we'll just see where my head is at when I get to that point. However, as I was trugging along today, I was getting to the last couple of rounds and realized somehow as I'm pressing and sort of trimming blocks up so I can sew the next logs on, 4 blocks were different than the others. And at the time, I just sort of noticed it and I pulled through and I pulled all the ones that didn't look right to me and I just set them off to the side and kept going with the others. And then when I got everything back, I sat and I pulled those 4 blocks back out, and I'm doing what I refer to as forensic quilting, where you look at your finished product and you go back in time to figure out where you went wrong. So I think what I did was started the first round in the wrong direction on one set of blocks somehow. I think that's what they're looking like to me. I think they're looking like they're the reverse direction of the other blocks. It's not, again, this is one of those logic things that sometimes I have problems wrapping my head around. Whatever I did, I'm going to have to do some seam ripping. I don't have enough of these particular colors in my strap. For all I've got a gazillion 2.5-inch strips, I don't have a lot of red ones. So I'm going to absolutely have to do some seam ripping so I can reuse these strips and get them done correctly. So I think I'm going to take them downstairs with me tonight while I'm watching TV and just sit there and rip some seams. And then hope that as I put them back together correctly, they still fit on the size that they need to fit. I may have just enough to replace a couple if I have to, but I don't think so. I'm really tight on the red. Now, I am using red strips from a variety of sources, and some have been in my stash for a very long time. So when I do get this quilt finished, you can bet I'm going to be using all of my old hand-dyeing tricks to make sure that that red doesn't bleed into the white when I wash it. So fingers crossed. I'm a while from that step yet, so I'll keep you posted. So this week, it's Easter week or Holy Week. We don't currently have plans for Easter Day. I'm sure we will end up with some by the end of the week, but we don't currently have any. My sister-in-law's 40th birthday is the day before that, and we just got the invitations. I mean, we've known for a while there's going to be a party, but they just sent out specific invitations announcing that it's a Kentucky Derby theme. So I've been shopping online for a fun, fancy fascinator. Fascinators are the types of hats that you sort of clip onto the side of your head rather than a big hat that you wear on your head. I have a unusually large brain. So I've got a big head, and I have problems sometimes getting hats that will fit me. So I think a fascinator will work a little better because I can just clip that on the side of mine and be done with it. And then I think I might get myself some sparkly sneakers for the fancy. Otherwise, I'm probably just going to wear jeans. I really don't love wearing dresses, except I do summer maxi dresses because those are easy. But I don't like, I just don't really like wearing dresses. So we'll see what I end up doing. My sister-in-law does. She dresses. She's kind of the retro vintage stuff, and she looks stinking adorable. So she kind of got me back into wearing dresses more than I ever had once she came into the family, but still not my jam. Again, probably I'll just do the fancy fascinator and sparkly sneakers and then just be in jeans and some sort of nice top. So other than that, it's actually going to be a low-key week for me work-wise as well. I always joke that the busier that the pastors get in their churches that I support, the less anybody wants to talk to me. So I've got all sorts of plans to just get stuff done this week, and that'll be nice if I can actually live that truth. So we'll see. That's all I have for this episode, and you know how you can get a hold of me, or if you don't, here's how you can get a hold of me. You can email me at sandyquilts@gmail.com, Sandy with a Y, Quilts with a Z. You can follow me on Instagram and Pinterest. You can friend me on Goodreads. You can like the Quilting for the Rest of Us page on Facebook. You can join the Quilting for the Rest of Us Kiva team and do good all over the world. And you will find all of those links and my blog at www.quiltingfortherestofus.com. Until next time, go get your quilty on.
Quilting for the Rest of Us is dedicated to Shirley. Love you, Mom.